Good morning, everybody. Last week, we talked about, started this whole series called Finding Thankful. And this time in November really starts the holiday season, right? I mean, we got Thanksgiving coming up, we got Christmas coming up, the New Year's coming up, and what happens? Busyness happens, right? We got to get to this place, we got to get to this office party, we've got to get to this this party over here. We got to get Uncle Joe from Alaska down here. Does anybody have an Uncle Joe from Alaska? Nobody. All right. So we gotta fly here. We gotta do this. We gotta make sure the kids have got this for their party. And man, how many of you guys are feeling pretty anxious right now? Right? Just thinking about it. And so this whole series is geared around all of that, the busyness of the holiday season. Last week we talked about how to be thankful in the grind of life. It's very difficult to be thankful in that moment. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, you must deny yourself and then follow me. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. In your daily grind, when you're doing things that feel like have no eternal value, we're talking about the commute to work, we're talking about being stuck in traffic. Maybe some of you slipped off the road earlier this week and are sitting in a ditch waiting for the tow truck to come. In your daily grind, in everything you do, bring glory to God. Man, that's hard when you're frustrated. Let's just say it all together. 1, 2, 3, amen. It's hard when you're sitting in a ditch because you slipped off the road, right? Everybody's okay. Or you have this repair bill that just pops up out of nowhere and you're trying to save for Christmas and it's $400, right? Give glory to God in your daily grind. Pastor Jimmy, that doesn't sound right. We know Jesus went against every normalcy in Scripture, right? He said, give thanks with a grateful heart. Man, that's hard to do when you're struggling. It's hard to do when you're saving. It's hard to do when you're trying to do right. It's hard to do when you set your mind to worship God, and yet things happen that threaten your decision. I know no one has ever had that happen before in this sanctuary this morning. But we can give glory to God in our daily grind. And we talked about three enemies of being thankful and grateful. Number one is, how many of you guys remember the pillow? The seduction of comfort. In other words, if I had a better home, then I'd be happier. If I had a better car, then I would be happier. If I had a better job, then I'd be happy. But that you can never find satisfaction in that. Right? Because as soon as you buy a new car, they're going to come out with a better one. Right? The home is the same way. Number two, the shiny things. Everybody say shiny things. I took Pastor Johnny and the board to Chicago this week to an exponential conference. And it was flat out, hands down, amazing. And it's about planting churches. And being around church planters for a couple of days was just incredible. But one of the things that the pastor of this very large church did, he dimmed all the lights down. He was talking about being the light of Christ. He dimmed all the lights down. He had one house light on pointing straight at him, and that's all you could see. And he talked about being the light of Christ. And he said, so what that means is, and he had his hands behind his back, and I couldn't quite see what he had. I thought it was a picture. But instead it was a mirror. And he turned it around and he put that house light that was pointed straight on him and he put the mirror out and that light reflected. And he did this right here. And he said, this is what we're supposed to do for the glory of God. And then all of a sudden he said, and once that reflection has hit you and has come alive and resurrected your life and created salvation and thankfulness and gratefulness in your life, Then the house lights went down, and he had a disco ball on the floor, and they pointed it at that disco ball, and all of a sudden, these single beams of light just went everywhere. And that illustrated how that each and every one of us have the light of Christ inside of us, and we shine like the heavens wherever we go. But sometimes when we have the light of Christ in us, we get caught up in the shiny things, and it reflects instead of outward, it reflects us. And our lights are hidden. And so we have to be careful about the allure of constant distraction in our life. Constant distraction. And I had everybody pull out their cell phones, remember? And how that is such a distraction in our life if not used properly. Or the fact that, and I talked about our kids and about how we sign them up for every single thing, and somehow we try to live through them or make up for lost time or whatever it is, and we find ourselves at the mercy of our own kid's schedule. It's a carrot that you can never seem to catch. And then the third thing we talked about concerning robbing us of our gratefulness is the towel. The perpetual temptation to want to quit, to want to throw in the towel. When your marriage isn't working, you've fallen out of love, we want to quit. There's no way back, we feel like. And I always tell people, when you fell out of love, you can fall back in to love. Can I get an amen this morning? And so, the other thing I said is that some people say, well, I tried God. Or I tried church, and I went a few times, and that church is mean. That one person said I was sitting in their seat. So I'm not going back there ever again. I'm closing the door on God, throwing in the towel. And so we talked about giving God glory in our daily grind. And so today we're going to be finding our thankful, praying through pain. Pain and anxiety. If I were to ask everybody in this room, how many of you guys have struggled with anxiety, hands would pop up all over the place. Especially this time of year. I should call this message triggered, right? Triggered. So if you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 7, we're going to get into this thing. And as you're turning there or getting on your smartphone, it's going to be up there on the screens as well, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the high privilege of preaching your Word. And today, Lord, I ask, Father, that you would use every word that comes out of my mouth. I pray, Father, that it's an appointed Word of God this morning, piercing the hearts and the minds of each and every one of us. Father, may your anointing be on each person to receive the Word of God today. Father, may you receive all of your glory and honor this morning as we study your Word together. In Jesus' name, amen. So often, the biggest battle that we are going through are battles others just don't really see. Right? We don't want to bother anybody, so we put it in a box and we hide it away. We don't want to inconvenience anybody and drag anybody else into the muck and mire of our lives, so we put it in a box and we put it away inside of our spirit. They are the battles that we keep hidden in the darkness and keep our minds held captive. You see, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. Wherever he goes, he dispels the darkness. Amen? And so the things, the internal battles that we deal with, whether it be anxiety, depression, you name it, go down the list. We want to, those battles are private. Those battles are raw. It's like a raw nerve. How many of you guys have ever had a toothache and that nerve is right in there and it just consumes your being, right? You know it's there, and it's this raw, exposed nerve, and it's personal because it has dictated our lives for a long long time. As a matter of fact, we've come to identify with our pain. And the reason being is because it's an inward struggle. It's a battle that we haven't lifted up before the Lord, or maybe we have, but we've given up for fear that God will not come through for us. Or maybe it's we are afraid to offer it up before the Lord because we're dealing with shame in our lives. See, everything that we keep in the darkness belongs to the enemy. Everything that we keep in the darkness, we give the enemy, the devil, permission to mess with, to hold over our heads, to condemn us. We give him license to do it the longer we keep it in the darkness. So often we will show that we look very confident on the outside, but on the inside, we are secretly insecure and struggling. On the outside, we're doing everything that we're supposed to do. We're going to work on time. We're getting our kids to this place. We're getting our grandkids to this place. We're loving our family. We're doing everything we're supposed to do, but we are crippled on the inside. Who we are on the inside doesn't reflect who we are on the outside. Our social media proclaims that we are hashtag blessed. But the truth is, we feel anxious. We feel worried. And there's a heaviness on us that keeps us captive in our fear and in our dread. For fear that somebody will figure us out. That we will be exposed in a public way. That if we allow somebody too close, they may get what I have on them. And so we push people back, but we project that we're okay. But what do we do when we find ourselves battling anxiety? What do we do? You know, you don't really think of anxiety as something we just lift up to the Lord. It's not something that we sing about, right? It's not something that we talk about in Bible studies a whole lot. But anxiety is a real thing, and it robs us from our thankfulness. It robs us from being grateful, and it blinds us to the blessing of God that is right in front of us. We couldn't recognize God's blessing in our life because we are neck deep in our battles of anxiety, our battles of feeling anxious and depression all over us. We can't recognize God's blessing because we are blinded by our anxiety. So before I read the text to you this morning, I want to give you a bit of background and context behind what has been written. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians while he was in prison. See, he didn't write this in the comfort of the upper room where the day of Pentecost was poured out and God's presence was thick and real and everybody was speaking in tongues and prophesying and you know, there was like tongues of fire resting upon each of their heads, and it was this wonderful, euphoric, heavenly moment. He didn't write it in the comfort of his own home. He didn't write it in the comfort of a friend's home or in a church service while worship was going on. And he had a prophetic word and he wrote it down in the bliss of the moment. But the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians while he was in prison, while he was chained up to a Roman soldier for 24 hours a day, not knowing what was going to happen to his life. He didn't know if he was going to be set free. He didn't know if he was going to be in prison for the rest of his life. He didn't know if he was going to be beaten every single day publicly. He didn't know if his head was going to be chopped off instantaneously, put to death. He had no idea what was going to happen to him. And yet in the prison, in this prison cell, tethered to a Roman soldier for 24 hours a day, not knowing what was going to happen to his life, he penned these words: "Rejoice in the Lord always. and I will say it again, rejoice. Those are powerful words for a man that doesn't know what's going to happen to him. Those are powerful words from a man that is tethered to somebody that doesn't care if he lives or dies. Those are powerful words to a man that doesn't know if he will ever taste freedom again. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be, everybody help me say it, anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is a man that is saying and pinning this proclamation to the Philippian church prophetically. This was a man, if anybody had the right to feel anxious, the right to feel fear, it was the Apostle Paul. In a Roman cell with no rights whatsoever, his life hinging on the balance of a whim of a dictator. Yet he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. This is something that he is saying over himself by faith. This is the Apostle Paul letting the Philippian church into his own therapy session. When he's speaking this word, these words by faith, the Lord is near. Here he is in a prison. When you feel like the Lord is the furthest thing from you, he's saying the Lord is near. And he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In other words, he is saying this to himself, but the Philippian church is getting the benefit. And then he said, when you do that, he said, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, while you're in prison, while you're dealing with your own inner battles, while you're dealing with your own inner struggles, if you will present your request to God, then the peace of God, when you feel like freaking out, when you're at that office party, when you're in this place that makes you feel anxious and you're triggered, then the peace of God that transcends all understanding, when you should be freaking out, you feel this weird peace that is not your own come over you supernaturally to bring you through that event. My mom used to deal with anxiety a whole lot. I was telling Dana, this morning as I was tweaking my message, that my mom has left like whole grocery carts full of groceries in the checkout line because it would just come on her and she would have to leave. She'd have to get out of there. She'd leave them there. She'd have to get in the car and go, not just go outside and count to 10, but leave. Now, I've never ever been in that kind of situation before, but this is the real and the powerful of being captive by anxiety. So what is anxiety? This is a very complicated answer, so I want to be careful. I don't want to oversimplify things. I don't want to overcomplicate things. Anxiety can be physiological, emotional, and spiritual. I would agree that it is always, always spiritual. Because of the many facets of anxiety, I want to take a holistic approach. And this is what I mean by that. Meaning, we are always going to pray. Say amen. We may seek professional help through counseling or a doctor who may give us advice on our diet or on our exercise. And under professional care, take certain medications to help us get through. bless God, Pastor Jimmy. You said medication. I feel like I want to leave right now. That's not spiritual. That's not by faith. Really? Our God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Now, I'm not saying go seek after medical. My pastor said, I'm going to go seek after medication. That's not what I'm saying. But as believers, when we're praying through things, when we're seeking counseling, I'm seeking counseling as I live and breathe at this very moment, dealing with the ton of loss that I've dealt with in my life in the last 3 years. Yeah, I'm gonna seek that out. If you are in need of that, you need to seek that out. But we should always pray. If we should seek counseling, if that's what we need to do. If we need to go to a doctor and talk about diet and exercise, you'll be amazed what happens when you exercise. You'll be amazed at what happens when you not just diet, but change the way you eat. So for time's sake, I want to focus on the spiritual side, because I can't prescribe medication to you, and I don't think you would want that. But I can prescribe this morning to you a spiritual prescription to you that will be transformative to you. So here we go. All right. So what is anxiety? It's like a check engine light that goes off in your car. How many guys ever had that go off in your car? Yeah? I got a little picture of that up there. Can you put that up on the board? There it is. Check engine light. Problem solved. See what's on that? Hey. Right? You see the check engine light go on. Instead of dealing with it, you put something over it. You put a smiley face over it. Right? And then it's okay during the day, right? Because you can't see the little red glow around the happy face, smiley face sticker. So at night, all of a sudden, there's a little red glow around the smiley face, and you're like, man, I still see it. So you got to get a bigger sticker. Right? So you got to get a bigger sticker. And then you realize that the red glow around that bigger sticker just keeps following the problem. And so you add another sticker, and before long, you can't tell how fast you're going. And then that creates a problem. And that glow is still following the sticker. And so you put a bigger one on there. Then you can't tell how much gas you've got in your tank. I'm going somewhere with this. So because we try to cover one thing up to give us a little bit of peace, a little semblance of peace, and then when the situation changes and the problem gets a little bit bigger, we put a bigger sticker on it, and then that hinders our ability to see how fast we're going in life. So we need to slow down in this season of life. What is our pace? We don't know, because we're covering things up. And then we cover it up even bigger, and we can't tell how much gas we have left in the tank. And so we start going on our own strength. We start gutting it out. We tend to watch every video on anxiety. We YouTube it. We go to WebMD and we diagnose ourselves. We try to over-medicate, and before you know it, our tank is empty, and we didn't even realize it because we've covered up everything. We're only going by what we can see that's not covered up. But if we deal with the problem at hand, God will be able to set us free. Amen? So when that check engine light goes off, it makes me anxious. It makes me anxious. What is the check engine light for? First of all, the check engine light is not the problem. It signals that there is a problem somewhere else. So if we are smart, we will take it to the manufacturer, because the one who made it is the one who knows how to fix it. Are you with me this morning? And so we put off going to the manufacturer, to AutoAces, for fear of what the cost is going to be. What's it going to cost me to be an overcomer? What's it going to cost me to get my joy back? What's it going to cost me to get relief from the fear that I feel and the anxiety that I harbor every single day? Am I going to have to die to myself? Am I going to have to stand when I've done all to stand? Am I going to have to say to that mountain, to be thou removed? Is it going to cost me something to get this fixed in my life? And so instead of going to the manufacturer, we cover things up. Anxiety is the signal alerting you that it is time to pray. In other words, it's time to go to the manufacturer, the one who created you. If it's big enough to worry about, then it's big enough to pray about. If it's on your mind, then it's on God's heart. Remember, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's time to take the sticker off the engine light and get our thankful back. Amen. If you are worried about your upcoming doctor's appointment, pray about it. If you're worried about a decision you need to make, then pray about it. Remember, present your request to God. Well, okay, present your request to God. That's five words. It can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. My life is complex, Pastor. My life is very complicated because I want to know what this is going to affect. And if I do this, what's it going to do over here? And if it does something over here, then it's going to trigger something over here. So those five words are complicated. It's not. It's present your request to God. So how do I pray? I don't even know how to pray effectively. I don't know what I should say. I don't know how I should say it. I don't know when I should say it. If I pray, am I going to offend God if I do whatever? Well, number one, don't pray in your King James language. You guys know what I'm talking about. Dear Heavenly Father, I beseech you in the presence of the Holy Mighty God of thunder and lightning and we do all of these fantastic words. We leave our King James language at the house or in the King James Bible. Do I pray long prayers? Because I really want God to hear me when I pray. And so I'm just going to say it over and over and over again. Right? He might be busy with somebody else's anxiety, so I want to keep pecking him on the shoulder until he turns around. Some of you small kids know what I'm talking about. Mama, 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 mama. What? Hi. Right? Hi. And then we feel like we got God's attention, and we're like, so yeah, hi. So we forget. So we pray. Do we pray these fantastic long prayers with these eloquent words? I'm from Tennessee. That doesn't work. So it's got to be simple. I pray in my southern. I use all the southern terms I can come up with because God knows me. He knows you. Keep it simple. You don't have to pray long, fantastic prayers. Have you ever been around prayer ninjas before? You know, they're the ones that they can quote book, chapter, and verse while they're praying. Like, they're praying and they're not skipping a beat. And then they throw book, chapter, and verse of a scripture in there. And they're praying in the King James language. And they're taking things captive. And they're bringing things under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. And you're like, man, how do they do that? Really won't pray like that. You don't have to do that either. Thing is that praying is simple. Praying is something that we can all do. It's having a conversation. I remember I was listening to Craig Groeschel which is one of my favorite pastors to listen to. He said he heard this pastor say one time when he had just came to Christ, he was trying to figure out how to pray and what to say, and he said he heard this pastor say, I didn't know what to say, so I was just praying, Lord, you are good to the last drop. Like a good neighbor, you're always there. But, you know, I mean, he's just, whatever works. You know, I can just see our Heavenly Father going, I love you. You're so cute. Start somewhere. If it's good to the last drop, then the Lord will be amused and you will be healed in Jesus' name, right? You do not have to be a praying ninja to reach up and grab a hold of God. It is as simple as presenting your request to God. In your own way, make your needs known. Here's some ways you can do that, all right? So if you're taking notes, here's some ways you can do that. It's not going to be up on the board, so you just take some notes here. Some ways you can do that. You can write it down. One of the things I found in my mother's things as I was packing up her belongings is a red date book. And it was 1982. And I opened it up, and in every one of those squares, she had what happened in her day. Didn't seem like much at the time. It was regular things. Whipped Jimmy today because he said a bad word. Went to the dentist's office. Or there were things in there that I realized my mom knew concerning a move that we moved to Columbus, Tennessee. And it was traumatic on me and my brother. And my mom wrote in there how she was losing her mind because me and my brother cried every day going to school. Every day at recess, we would go out and we would leave the playground and walk down the street, trying to find our way back home. Didn't know how to get there, but we would leave it. And so my mom, she wrote that down in her journal, and so that sparked in me again to start writing things down. So I started writing in my journal. Writing down the things that may not have eternal value, but it sparks memories. And all those things that she wrote in there, I saw from her perspective when she was in a late place. Never saw that perspective about my mom, but one of the things that we can do is write it down so that you can remember the goodness and faithfulness of God in the middle of being triggered. Number two, you can sing your request to God. I don't do that, but some of you guys may do that. Sing your way out of anxiety. Sing your way out of depression. Put something on, go on YouTube or worship or whatever it is, and plug that thing in. Lock yourself in your room and let the presence of God fill you up in that moment. And if you can't pray, If words are escaping you, then this is good enough. Now, pay close attention. Sigh. Groan. Do whatever it takes, because your Heavenly Father knows what you are in need of. If you can't formulate it in words, then by all means, sigh. Cry, let it out. Whatever you've got to do, expel that from your spirit and allow your Heavenly Father to turn off the check engine light in your life. Amen? And if we need to, we can be angry. God's big enough to handle your temper tantrum. He's big enough to handle your accusation toward him. He's big enough to handle your angry words, your angry disposition. And while you're doing that, whether you're writing it down, whether you're locking your room in and you're worshiping God, whether you're just, you're groaning or crying or sighing, whether you're angry or whatever situation you're in, the graciousness of our Heavenly Father is that He meets us right where we are. He doesn't yank us up by our arm and give us a swat on the butt. He doesn't bring an accusation toward us. He will not come in and say, "I told you so. I told you you shouldn't do that. I told you." Instead, our Heavenly Father will come in and He will pour Himself out. We sang a song about the alabaster box and pouring ourselves out. For those that don't know what that story is about, Jesus was sitting around a table and He was eating. You know, Jesus was either eating, about to eat, or going to eat. I love that about Jesus. So He's sitting around and He's just hanging out, and this woman that is of low stature in the community came in and she knelt down at His feet, and she had this alabaster box, this precious, beautiful, adorned box, and inside of it was fragrance that was so valuable that it was about a year or two's wage of value. And the Bible says she came in on her knees and she poured out all the oil that she had from that alabaster box on to the feet of Jesus. Nobody at that table understood what she was doing. They accused her. They rebuked her. They said, "That money that you poured out could have gone to the poor." And He said it so self-righteously and religiously, as if He's all the time worried about the poor. Jesus said, "The poor you will always have with you." What this woman is doing is preparing me for what's to come. She's anointing my body. And Jesus has poured Himself out. The cross is His alabaster box. And He poured it out on all of humanity. And He gave us the example of pouring ourselves out on Him. And when we pour ourselves out on Him, then not only do we get our thankful back, but He sets our lives on sure ground again so that we can pull others up out of the muck and mire. Amen? Because it's not always about us. It's not always about our own struggles. It's not always about our own anxiety. But God has given us a light that we are to reflect and shine so that we can bring people up with us. Amen? The light of Christ isn't just for us. It's not just a measure just enough for us. But that light it never runs out. It never dims. And we are to dispense it lavishly and not with measure. Amen? Again, all of you guys know that I've been going through a very difficult season of life for a year, and I sought out counseling to make sure that I was processing grief and loss in a healthy way, and that has helped me adjust my pace and see things differently. But here's the thing. You will not seek out help until you humble yourself and admit you are in need. I love how Peter handles his anxiety. Peter said this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." I want you to see the nuances of what Peter said here. In the context of his words, Peter was the one who had the audacity when they were out in the boat. Everybody was like, "Whoa, that's a ghost." But you see a figure over in the horizon, and Peter recognizes Jesus. And Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to come." Man, that is some audacious faith. He's out in the middle of the water. What do you mean, bid me to come? Is he going to get in a little dinghy here and paddle out to him? Floaties on his arms and swim? I mean, how is he going to do this? And Jesus said, "Peter, it is I. Come on. So the Bible says Peter got up out of the boat and he walked on water. And he was doing good. Like he called out to Jesus and he made this faith proclamation. He said, Lord, if that's you, you bid me to come and I'm coming to you. And Jesus, he heard the voice of the Lord say, come. And Peter, by faith, got out of the boat and started walking. And that's what we do. We hear the Lord. We see him. And we say, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come and I'll come. And Jesus says, come. And then we're walking. We're defying all logic. We're defying gravity. We're defying all laws of nature. And we're walking by faith, this faith that surpasses our own understanding. It's just a beautiful thing. It's supernatural. And we're walking, man. And then all of a sudden, Peter's anxiety starts to kick up. And he's triggered. What is he triggered by? It's not the Lord. It's outside things. Those peripheral things. Those things that we see. He saw the wind. He saw the waves. And the Bible says he stumbled a bit. He's still trying to go forward, but all of a sudden, instead of walking, he's sloshing. Things are out of kilter. And so all of a sudden, the Bible says that Peter began to sink. And Peter called up to the Lord, raised his hand up, and said, help! Right? And then this is what Peter says. He said, humble yourselves. In other words, call out to the Lord, make your request known to the Lord. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and that he may lift you up in due time. Amen? So Peter was remembering when the Lord saw him and got him neck deep in the water, and he yelled for help, and Jesus knelt down and lifted him up. And that's the context of what Peter is saying here. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the God's mighty hand, and that he may lift you up in due time. It's always good to give context behind that. But we have to humble ourselves under his mighty hand until the worship team come up. Humble yourself under his mighty hand. It wasn't until Peter reached out, he humbled himself, that God lifted him up in due time. And as the worship team comes up, we're going to sing a song called Tremble. I want you to lift up your hands this morning. If you're dealing with anxiety, crippling anxiety, where your worry has consumed your life, that anxiety has just been a part of your life, all of your life, I believe God can heal you and set you free today. Get your thankful back. Amen. That we can be grateful again. That we can experience the presence of God. Even when the wind and the waves are blowing. That He may lift us up in due time. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? As we lift our hands up, first it represents surrender. And secondly, it represents victory. And today, I'm believing that you're going to experience both of those. Amen. We can have our prayer team come forward as well. As we're singing this song, some of these things you're dealing with in your life, here's one of the things that we're doing right now that I mentioned that we can do. Sing. These songs are prophetic declarations of our lives. Well, I don't feel like it, that's true. I feel like singing right now. Fine. And just breathe deep. You need to cry. If there's a groaning in your spirit, then just allow that to happen. Don't suppress it. Bring that box out into the open and allow the light of Christ to lift you up. Amen. With thanksgiving, present our request to the Lord. Father, this morning. How I feel right now doesn't matter. By faith I groan. By faith I sing. By faith I pray. By faith I write it down. By faith I get alone. By faith right now I worship with all of my heart. By faith I move forward and confess this thing with my mouth, that it's no longer in the darkness of my life, but now it is exposed to my Heavenly Father. Not so that I would be humiliated, but so that I would receive my healing. So that I would receive this peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that I cannot manufacture. A peace that did not originate with me. A peace that doesn't reside in what I wear, and what I post, and what I drive, and what house I have, or what I can do in my own hands. But a supernatural peace that transforms my life. That no matter what state I'm in, I never lose my thankfulness. I never lose how grateful I am. I never lose the enormity and power of my Heavenly Father. So this morning, Father, as we worship You, may You do Your work. Holy Spirit, would You heal minds today? Would You renew spirits today? Father, may we choose deliberately to take off the sticker covering the check engine sign. Lord, we lift up that brokenness to You, the manufacturer of our soul, so that You can bring healing. This morning, if you need prayer concerning anxiety, if you're going through depression, if worry has consumed you, maybe you're going through a death in your family too. Maybe the holidays triggers you like crazy, and this whole message has freaked you out. This is your moment. By faith, would you get out of the boat? Would you walk on water this morning to one of these prayer warriors so that they can lift you up and pray the prayer of faith over you this morning? Amen. Let's sing.
Before we sing this song, the Lord was speaking to me as Jimmy was preaching. And I knew that He was going to have prayer for those of you that are struggling with this. And what He was pinpointing and really stressing is, if you do deal with this, some of you have actually identified with what it is that you are dealing with anxiety. You said, well, this is who I am. This is what I've always been. And what you've done is you've kind of set that standard in you that you said, and this is how I'm always going to be. You may not have said that, but it's the stance that you've taken. And why I say that is because I've dealt with it myself. And you say it jokingly, you say, well, I'm an introvert or whatever, and say, that's just who I am. And you pass it off as, it's something that I manage, it's something that I just deal with, it's okay, it's part of my personality. But let me tell you that if you don't deal with that, that can be the very thing that holds you captive for the rest of your life. And God has come to set you free today. Listen to me, today can be a game changer for any one of you. But you have to be the one, as Jimmy said, to step out of the boat, to put one foot in front of the other, and saying, even though everything around me is twirling and the winds are howling and the waves are coming up and it feels like it's going to just take me over, I'm going to trust You, God, that You are the one that's bidding me to come out because You want to set me free. Not just free for Your own victory, but because somebody else is going to need that. And they're going to come to you and say, how did you do it? How did you get set free? And you're going to say, let me tell you, Jesus Christ set me free. So I bid you today that if you are dealing with that, do not hesitate. Do not stand do not sit in your seat, but you run and you get prayer and you ask God to deal with the very thing that has held you maybe your whole life and deal with it. The enemy does not want you to deal with it. God wants you to deal with it. It's not as scary as you think. He is bigger. He is greater than anything that we are ever going to deal with. So trust Him today with your life. As we sing, just let this minister to you. Just let this wash over you. Whatever it is that you need, just let it minister to you. As we're singing, come forward. If you feel a tug, if you feel your heart's pounding, that's God. He's saying, come on, I'm meeting you right here. I'm meeting you right here. Don't hesitate.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Amen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it will guard your heart. It will stand resolute around that which God has done in Amen. You. Amen? That our God is powerful. And that there is nothing He cannot
That's right.
do. Amen? There's nothing He cannot do. Can we just give God ridiculous praise this morning?
Yes.
Isn't He amazing, Father? You are amazing, and we love You. Hallelujah. That which God has established in your life, He guards militantly. He protects. He doesn't just heal you and say good luck. But the Bible says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will stand guard and will guard your heart and will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. I love that. So it's time to say, take the stickers off this morning.
Yes.
If you've got multiple stickers on and you're just driving on fumes, take those stickers off. Go to the manufacturer and present your request to God. Amen. Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You that anxiety has no place in my life. By faith I say it. With trembling lips, Lord, I proclaim it. With all my heart, I believe it. And I thank You, God, that You are guarding that proclamation. You're standing resolute around me. And I thank You for it. Father, I love You. And I walk out of these doors today by faith, free in the name of Jesus. Because You make the darkness tremble. You silence fear. Oh, Jesus, we love You this morning. So, Lord, seal this word. Seal my decision. Seal my song of faith this morning. I choose to present it to You. By faith, I'll walk in it. And Lord, I know, as Peter said, He will pull me up. In due time. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Give God another hand clap of praise this morning. Amen.